Blog Talk Radio.
Food waste is one of the most easily solvable problems, literally the low-hanging fruit of environmentalism. Pardon the pun, it's my job.
About 20% of all produce never makes it off the farm.
It's because they just look a little funny.
A little weird, but when you cut into it, it's perfectly good food.
It's just a total shame. It's totally good stuff.
We buy ugly produce directly from farms that often would go to waste because supermarkets won't buy it because of how it looks, and we deliver it to people's doors.
Beauty standards for an apple.
This isn't that ugly at all. Like, that's the most common first box, like, complaint we get.
We change that. We educate people. We show them how amazing these fruits and vegetables are.
Have food delivered to your house.
Box of produce every week.
And it's more affordable.
At a very reasonable price.
Cheaper than the grocery store.
I spend a lot less time in grocery stores.
It's an adventure every time that you open your box.
High quality produce.
There's nothing wrong with the produce.
And they taste exactly the same, if not better.
Save those fruits and vegetables that get wasted every year.
And it's delivered to your door, like,
but what? Why wouldn't you do?
Please go to our website, freedomizerradio.live, and sign up for Imperfect Foods today. Use our promo code and get money off your first order. Go ahead and get some organic and all-natural meats, dairy, snacks, breads, and non-GMO produce.
Of all the grounding studies, the one that really got our attention is called Electric Grounding Improves Vagal Tone in Preterm Infants. In the study, 26 premature babies in an NICU were connected to grounding wires. The heart rates of the grounded infants stabilized. And their vagal tone, a critical measure of infant health, increased by 67% with grounding.
The information is provided for general informational purposes only. The contents are not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Ground Therapy Incorporated makes no representations about the efficiency, appropriateness, or suitability of any specific tests, procedures, treatments, services, opinions, healthcare providers, or other information that may be contained in or available through the information provided.
Freaks, outsiders, weirdos, the wallflowers, oddball loser, fish out of water, speak up, talk quieter. We are different. There's no arguing. It's a fact. A patchwork of flaws, we grow and adapt. We're funky, unconventional. See life through kaleidoscope eyes. In a field full of clovers, with our four leaves, we bask in blue skies. Flaws are natural. Our imperfections, our weaknesses, our scars. There is a misfit in all of us. We just have to be brave enough to embrace who we are.
Hello everyone. I want to introduce you to our friends at Marty.com. At Marty, you can stock up on all your pantry items and other household items for way, way cheaper than traditional grocery stores. I like that most of the items are organic. Also, I really dig their 1 cent deal of the day. It changes every single day. I recently snagged a 10-ounce bag of dog treats for Chewbacca for a penny. Normally they sell on their site for $7.99. With the upcoming food shortages, this is my favorite place to stock up on canned goods. If you live in the mountain or Pacific time zones, you need to get with Marty.com, M-A-R-T-I-E.com. Look for our link on our FreedomizerRadio.com website and get a $10 free just because I told you to go there. Marty.com. Great deals, good feels.
Good afternoon, morning, evening, whatever happens to be on this fine Saturday or for you folks, or Sunday if you're listening through Indianapolis, 105, Mix 105. This is Barefoot is Legal Radio. Barefoot is Legal is a 501c3 nonprofit dedicated to promoting the rights and legalities and spreading the information on living the barefoot lifestyle. And our goal is to, you know, just inform and encourage and assure that people know that it is a valid, legal, safe option for how to live your life. For whichever reason you choose may not be for you, we have answers, information, experiences. You can find us on barefootislegal.org. We have documentation you can print off for your, you know, personal use for interactions, altercations, whatever. We have two Facebook groups. There is the public group and a private group. We are also on Instagram, is Real Barefoot is Legal. I am the admin, Audrey. And we have TikTok, which is run by Rachel McCarthy. It is Barefoot is Legal, and then the number 2. You can find a quick Google search, you'll find us, you know, through whether it's, you know, Instagram, TikTok, whatever, you'll find us. I am the host of the radio show Audrey, and I'm here with my co-host Phoenix. She's taking a drink of water. I picked the wrong time to introduce her.
Sorry.
Don't be sorry.
Start using excuse me.
It works better. It works better for me.
My throat's been dry, folks. I know this weather this time of year is just, like, so frustrating because it's, like, keeps going back and forth, you know, yo-yoing between, like, warm, feeling like spring. And
it doesn't know what it wants to do currently.
The worst time, I feel like, for sinuses, and then, you know, creates all these frustrations for us as barefooters. Especially depending on what, the weather's like for you, and what your, own barefoot journey looks like right now.
Correct. It looks beautiful for me. I still, I'm still only at one, woo-hoo! Having had to put shoes on aside from work. It's been a very emotional week for me.
Mm-hmm.
Not to be TMI, but I'm pretty sure, like, as soon as I hit 40 a couple weeks ago, my body just said, oh, hey, here's some menopause, enjoy. I've needed a lot more grounding, and I had some emotional moments. Yesterday, literally before I even left the house to take my kids to my sister's for her to get them on the bus, I started the day with a complete mental breakdown, involving the, you know, loud sob crying and all that. And
yeah, one of those.
It was bad. Again, that's between my everyone, but, and the thing is, I know it's the, what set me off was I couldn't find my keys.
Yeah.
I've been losing stuff a lot more. That just goes with the ADHD, you know, and all that anyway, but it's been really bad. And
it was the stroll that broke the camera.
Indeed. It was like, it wasn't even a stroll. It was a speck of dust. Because my husband was able to tell me where the garage door opener was and where to go find my spare key. So in the grand scheme of things, it was not a huge deal. But in that moment,
you were probably
frustrated with myself.
Yeah.
I lose stuff while I'm holding it. It just disappears, or it's still in my hand and I don't realize it. So I've been doing a lot more grounding, like even at work, sneaking my shoes off to just like feel the ground more. Cause that's the only time I put shoes on is for work. And I like wait till I get to the door, put them on. Sometimes I even walk in, and then put them on inside, right when I get inside and then whatever. But like, and I have to leave them on. Stupid. But we've been over that already. But I'm so thankful for it. It's not even like quote unquote warm. It's hit like 40 degrees and I'm like, weather. I am definitely a Midwestern Ohio girl when 40 degrees.
Because
I think about how cold that actually, that's like a refrigerator. I'm wondering like it's sweater. I've literally gone down from, you know, 3 sweaters and a jacket to 1 sweater. But I'm grateful for being able to go grounding. I'm putting on, it's supposed to be a little warmer tomorrow. It's just,
I know, I'm excited.
I think I'm going hiking tomorrow for sure, at least for a little bit. I haven't been in the trees in too long.
Yeah.
It's been far too long.
Yeah.
So we'll be doing that. And I want to just, like, I had a few experiences this week. Nothing to speak. One guy tried to, like, he chased me around Fairborn literally and tried to run me off the road till I drove to the police station. It was insane. That had nothing to do with the barefoot, but. That was Thursday, so, I mean, I think it all just culminated on, Friday morning. It was terrifying.
Is
he, like, cut me off 3 times, so then I finally busted around him to get away from him, and then he literally, I realized he was following me, so I didn't even pull up by my house. I pulled up by my house. I'm like, this dude's following me. If he follows these random paths, I know for sure. And sure enough, he did for like 10 minutes. I got my husband on the phone, and then I was like driving to the police station. He finally passed. But I was like, I'm about to park my mouth and show this guy where I live. Like, I don't know what his problem was, but like, it was terrifying. Like, I've never.
I was
literally waiting for bullets to come through my window.
Experience this week where I was just like, realized
what
that
is
like
happening?
Somebody's following me, and so then I took a very complicated way home, and like, eventually I passed by a couple of cops, and then I was like, oh, there.
I was put up behind him, and I'm like, I need your help. But then the car wasn't on my butt anymore, and that was like kind of.
Yeah.
I wonder how freaking crazy would be the same guy. Like, this person that follows me, like, they're up to something.
I think we do need to address this in terms of safety. Like, be safe, y'all. I know. And
even if you just feel like it and they're not, like,
because I
go on a weird-ass path, and if they follow you, find the police station near you or a safe place, because that was, I have never been so scared on the road in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not the nicest driver. I'll acknowledge that. But I've actually not done anything to instigate this at this point. I wouldn't have been surprised if it was on the side where I'm like, oh, you're going to fight to pass me because I'm kind of a jerk like that on the road. I'm not going to lie. But I literally, I don't know what happened.
Well, and like, and not to freak people out, but I know in like the Dayton, Fairborn area, there have been a lot of
human trafficking.
Well, that's the one thing most people don't know is that the Dayton, Ohio is
number one
and has been for a long time for just human trafficking.
What's about that is, like, the type of person I am, I literally get SHOT real fast because I ain't going to comply with nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, don't you? I know. I won't. Not too dramatic, but I wouldn't.
So just, you know, and so I'm always just kind of, you know, let's not just scare people because.
Just be cautious.
But just, you know, be cautious, be safe. And I know there have been reports in Fairborn of the same truck just like
that
dog
watch
bus route.
Yes. It's my kid's bus route, literally right by my house.
And so, guys, be safe, be careful. And this is why coming together as a community is so important. And I've been kind of seeing that a lot of parents, you know, I've been hearing are, you know, kind of they're getting concerned, they're getting together. And that's always a good thing to see people responding by, you know, community connections. That's how we have to respond to these things, is by, you know, forming a community of safety. And, you know, so, and I think women always naturally do that. We've always naturally done that for so long.
We've had to
protect ourselves.
Not to be dramatic or, you know, we're not some, you know, she woman man haters club, but it's just, it's simple historical fact. That's all. We're not trying to start anything with anybody.
Yeah.
It just, we have to be cautious. We know that.
Yeah. And
we're
if anybody it actually acknowledges the history of, you know, like sexism, you know, that's something too, like, you know, we've always had to make safe places. So I encourage people to make safe places in their communities right now. Community is a very important thing. And that's why, you know, Barefoot Legal exists, is to have a community.
Mm.
And community support is very important. So, you know, we need to, you know, so I think it is important to kind of address those things and that anybody can experience really unsafe situations like that, even though that really wasn't our necessarily intention coming
today. I wasn't
even
planning
on
talking about
but
this,
it's something, but, you know, it was an experience that, you know, you went through this week and, and it just kind of came out, but I think that we also need to address anyway that community safety is really important. So, you know, if you feel unsafe experiences, you know, reach out. And if you're a woman and, you know, start with other women, you know, if you feel more comfortable, you know, with, you know, because of your, you know, your trauma or your incident that you went through, you know, because we have to forget, too, that. And
you're remembering me? You said we didn't forget.
Oh, sorry. I was thinking how we, like, people often forget.
I meant that you need to remember.
Sorry, No, you're good. I misspoke. But that was what I meant to say. Sorry, guys.
No, I was like, we have to forget. I don't want to forget.
No, we often forget and need to remember, too, that, like you were saying, like, a lot of women are not men haters. They just have trauma. And, you know, trauma creates these trauma responses.
Even if it's not, like, something traumatic, it could just be an experience. Not, like,
well, trauma,
you know, puts you in a full-blown panic attack, but, like, it sticks with you.
Well, and trauma is
basically
a situation.
Yeah,
so trauma is more than we even realize.
Yeah.
So, too. And so that is a wider encompassing term than most people realize.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if you...
I think it's also sometimes overused. It's something you need to be careful of using this, just because, you know, it's just, I don't know really how to explain it. I think sometimes people say it and I'm like, I don't know. Does that make sense?
Yes. Unfortunately, there are a lot of people where have been using mental health kind of, I hate to say it, but for clout and for,
yes,
and for capitalistic gain.
And it's really frustrating when you actually suffer from it and you can tell these people don't. And you're like,
yeah,
excuse me, please don't use my problems for your gain. That's for anybody. Yeah, anybody's problems, you know, like.
Right, but I'm, yeah,
I know, I get what you're saying. And they don't know me personally, clearly, but like my.
Yeah, and but it's like there's so many people around the world that have been through so many traumatic things. Just people need to stop trying to, you know, get some kind of gain from it.
Yeah.
You know? Because a lot of the people that are speaking out, they're not looking for gain. They are the people that have actually been
helping
doing things that are speaking out.
We're
looking to, you know, encourage others and create a space of healing and safety that unfortunately we may not have had. And maybe not entirely didn't have that, but didn't have in certain situations.
Right. To be there for others. It's like,
and that's even why, you know,
when you can't think of a reason why you went through something, you know there's other people that have been through it and you can help them and then at least help you find something.
But, you know,
I know this is completely off topic, but it's so important.
No,
that's just where our brains are going.
Well, I have some things that I kind of want to touch on later with Barefoot is Legal and the community aspect of that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to kind of continue on this thought for a second, guys, so if it may seem a little, like, off topic. It makes sense to me and, like, how we can kind of support the community. So trauma
is... Plus, no one's giving us feedback anyway, so we don't know what you're thinking.
So, you know, trauma, it is a broader thing than a lot of people do realize, though, because it's anything that disrupts the central nervous system. And so that's why certain things,
and
you know, may be traumatizing to one person,
yes,
but not traumatizing to another person.
It's just how you and your body respond to the disease.
Yeah, and we have to think, too, our central nervous system connects to our brain,
mm-hmm,
and so there's a lot of neuropathic connections going on, a lot of just different chemicals going on.
And so anything
that disrupts our brain chemicals disrupts our central nervous system.
Right.
So,
and I would say one thing too, not all quote unquote trauma is bad. Does that make sense? Because some trauma can be something that does make you stronger and smarter, and it's like meant to be it might not even be a terrible experience, but it disrupts your central nervous system, mm-hmm, enough to where like it sticks with you and you remember it for keeps.
Yeah, you know, I get what you're saying. There's different
typically
levels. Because there are different levels of trauma. So I get what you're saying.
It's typically bad, but sometimes.
You can have an experience that does kind of be a trigger for your body. But if you're, depending on what it is, you can then, you know, ground yourself, learn from it.
Right.
But it also depends on where you're at.
Yeah.
And so that's the thing, too, is, you know, there may be something that could trigger your central nervous system, but you're much easierly able to overcome it. Well, there are other things
right
that are more intense, more, especially complex trauma, which complex trauma comes from a lot of domestic abuse situations, the things that are ongoing. It creates a complex
trauma.
Those things. You know, and obviously it depends on the events and what happened. There are different levels of trauma that are a lot harder to overcome. And even single events can be a lot harder to overcome.
Right.
So you can have a bodily, you know, disruption, but it's not something that is going to necessarily leave an impact that is going to last for years.
Right.
But that is when you need to be able to recognize my central nervous system is disrupted. I need to regulate. And it's like, and I hate sounding so trivial because it's like, you know, trauma is a really tricky subject, you know? And as somebody that's gone through different levels, I understand what you're saying, but there are certain things that have disrupted me. And I can't think of a good example right now that I was able to quickly re-regulate myself from.
Right.
But there are more complex things, and it's going to be a more systematic form of regulation that will need to occur. And one thing that I have found, though, for me and for other people, even if they're not actually, like, full-on barefooters, but barefooting and grounding does help process trauma. It helps regulate your body, but it also can help regulate your mind, your emotions. You know, it can regulate, you know, you spiritually, energetically, in terms of, like, electromagnetic fields, because the sun is electric and the earth is magnetic, and that's how the electromagnetic field forms within us and with on objects on earth.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also, you know, a field around the earth that is created from the connection, the wavelength between the sun's electric energy and the earth's magnetic energy. So electromagnetic fields too, and I've been kind of pushing further on learning about it too, and I still personally feel like I have a long way to go before, on that still, but as I'm pushing forward too, realizing that even when we hear EMF or electromagnetic field, like we still, even when we think that we're aware, there's still some unawareness, because it's like science has been so watered down for us.
Right.
So, you know, if you are somebody that's gone through traumatic things, and believe me, there are some things that, you know, I have gone through that I need have taken years for me to get into a place where I can't even talk about or even admit that that happened.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there are a lot of, you know, really complex types of traumas, and it sounds kind of silly if you're, you know, not somebody that has knows from experience that it works, but being able to take those times to find a safe place in nature, to barefoot, and, you know, and even if you don't feel safe on your own, you know, bringing a safe person where you can be vulnerable with, that you feel genuinely safe with,
mm-hmm.
being able to barefoot in nature, and being able to just get away from all the chaos, and chaos isn't inherently bad either, but I mean the chaos of the city versus the chaos of nature.
Right.
You know, being able to connect with nature's chaos.
Get away from, like, honestly, in my opinion, artificial life.
Yeah.
To connect with a real life. I don't know if I'm making sense today. But.
And I do think barefooting does have a key role in healing.
Oh,
and
for sure.
And obviously, you know, we talk about this, but I feel like that goes for everybody, not just barefooters. And so,
yeah,
you know, I kind of lost my train of thought for a second.
Sorry.
No, you're okay. Just, I'm kind of reflecting on my own experiences, and I've gotten through a lot of breakthroughs this week. Like, this week has been an intense, energetic week for everybody, but I feel like I've gotten through more psychological breakthroughs, more breakthroughs with, you know, trauma even, than I have in a really long time. And so I do it's a lot better. And I just think about how barefooting and grounding is such a key thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even if it's just sitting on the floor of my apartment, because I'm a ground level apartment, even that I can gain grounding from.
No, for sure.
Before the show, I was just feeling really overstimulated. I'm menstruating right now, and I do want to get into how barefooting helps with that, because I think that's something that we don't also get into enough.
Well, because let's just say it's icky and gross, so we don't generally talk about it.
Yeah, and so I'll get into that in a second. But before the show, I was just feeling so overwhelmed, overstimulated, my emotions like, ugh. And
all over the place.
So I, you know, went out right before the show.
Mm-hmm. No, seriously.
And it's only like it's just above 40, but the sun.
My watch is 39. Well, 43.
43. Okay, but I don't know. Maybe the feels like it's 39. I don't know.
Anyway.
The sun was shining, and you know, as I just went outside, you know, I started with the concrete, because when I first walk out, you know, I'm walking on concrete anyway, and I can already just kind of feel myself just like decompressing, but then, you know, when I was able to walk in the grass, and the grass was wet, but just feeling it, but it wasn't super cold, so feeling like the coolness, it does help with inflammation in my feet, and I'll get into that with the menstruating thing, and so there are a lot of really good aspects of barefooting when you're on your period, guys,
girl,
I'm in, you know, general term, like, anybody bleed in, y'all, but being able to just feel, you know, the cool, squishy, you know, grass under my feet, and just feeling it cooling, and being able
reducing inflammation all around,
and just being able to look up at the sun, and you know, I was just closing my eyes and just like allowing it through my face. Because even think about it too, it's winter. Like, you know, as barefooters, you know, we talk about, you know, oh, the frustrations of not always being able to barefoot. You know, I'm sure even in our own personal lives, like here when it's cold outside, but even just missing out on the sun. And the sun is so important for our body's natural functions.
Yeah.
You know, it's so important for our circadian rhythm, but it's also important for our organ function.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we don't get enough sunlight, our body actually will slow down a
mm-hmm.
lot of its functions because we need that vitamin D, but we also just don't need vitamin D in terms of from our food or from supplements. We also do need vitamin D from the sun, you know, because there's other nutrients that comes in from the sun that we're not always able to get from other foods.
Mm-hmm. Like, vitamin D, especially, like, you can get it from some foods, but not in the levels that, like, you need it.
Yeah. And even, too, when I was being prescribed vitamin D to help with some of my other issues at certain points in my life, especially in the winter and fall when I wasn't getting enough, like, early spring, I found that it really wasn't helping with my digestive issues and other issues as much as natural sunlight, as how much I did if I felt in the summer. It was just so different.
Yeah, right. Well, because it's almost like an artificial.
Well, it is an artificial.
An internal versus external. Specifically, if you absorb it in the sun, that's an external.
And I'm not against modern medicine. There are a lot of uses for medications. But sometimes.
Which might sound backward, by the way. If anybody with ADHD, I feel for you. It's apparently nationwide backorder on. Yeah, no, my pharmacy has no idea when they're going to get it in. No idea. So I'm going to be unregulated for a while. So heads up.
Wow.
Heads up, world.
A lot of ADHD people are going to be unregulated because there's a shortage and a backorder on medication. Oh, my gosh. That is insane.
Mm-hmm.
That is so frustrating.
Yeah, because I got a notification it's on backorder. And so I called, asked, you know,
mm-hmm.
How long is this going to go on? And they said they don't know. They just try and place an order for it every single day. Every day, every morning they go. They try to place an order, and they keep getting told back order.
Okay, yeah. So, y'all, be gentle with your ADHD friends.
Yes, please. Please, please.
You can even get into ADHD.
I've already worn my assistant teacher. Like, next week, I'm going to be unregulated till I don't know when.
Yeah, and we can even get into, barefooting and ADHD, too. But I just want to, too quick, like, just being able to go out there and just feel the electric energy from the sun, feel the magnetic energy from the earth. Like, I really felt like it really grounded, like, my energy field. And I know it sounds crazy, but there's a lot of science behind it. Like, and that's the thing, too, is a lot of this stuff
just
is, like...
Just because something sounds crazy doesn't mean it's wrong.
Mm-hmm. And that's why it's, like, science is so important, because there are a lot of medications that do have their use. But as we dive deeper in science, we realize that a lot of medications, especially prescribed to women and often overprescribed to women, we don't actually understand the full effects on our bodies, our hormones, what it's doing for us, you know, and just what that's like in general, because not everybody, you know, is going to respond to a certain medication the same way. And the lack of research that's been done for so long has caused so many people to distrust medication.
Yeah.
But and part of it's because they're prescribed things they shouldn't have been, or they were overprescribed, or it was something that didn't work with their hormones.
And
that research
right now
is now being uncovered.
And I'm concerned right now because I saw where – so I have fibromyalgia, as I'm not shy about telling everybody to you. And the medication they put me on for that, I found out just recently, it's never actually been made for a pain or nerve medication.
Mm-hmm.
Its approved uses is for seizure disorders.
Wow. Yeah.
And it can actually, I need to talk to my doctor because it says it can actually, you don't have a seizure disorder and you're taking this, it can actually, one of the side effects is it can cause seizures.
So
I'm kind of like, now, is this like the way, like you just said, the way they're being used? I'm like, I need to, and again, I don't think when we started, we talked about what we were going to talk about. So we are off our own topic right now.
I think it's something that applies to all of us. And so we need to find a balance between, the medical world and, you know, holistic healing, because people forget that herbology was the, that was the way of treating so many diseases and disorders for so long.
Right.
And they didn't have their uses. The research is finding that overuse of some of the things can cause a lot of problems, too.
Can cause you to have the condition that it's supposed to help you with.
Like, if that makes sense. Like,
yeah, because it can overuse.
Or help what it's supposed to help with, but then cause yet another problem. And that's where I need to go in. I need to go in and tell me, like, look, we need to break this down. Mm-hmm. And see, what do I need, what do I not need?
But it's really important for a lot of people to connect back to the earth and connect to holistic healing.
I always feel better when I can do that anyway.
Completely just dismiss the medical world and all the science put into that. If anything, we just need a deeper and a more encompassing, a more broad type approach to science. And instead of just assuming that folk ways were, you know, barbaric or whatever,
well,
a lot of them were, instead of assuming that,
about it,
I need to put more science and research into proving things.
If you think about it, if you really, really think about it, modern medicine is still technically like the folk ways. It's just more accepted.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
Back in the day, they give you an herb for something, and now, where 100 years even before that, it would have been considered modern medicine, like advanced medicine. So it's always advancing, but just because something's advancing doesn't make it better. It doesn't make it worse. It makes it the same. So, like, a lot of these, like, they do help what they're supposed to help with, but some of the old ways would be just as, if not more, beneficial to what you're trying to do.
Yeah. And, excuse me.
Ooh, dang, girl.
Good job. But also too, it's just we need to think too is, you know, our modern medicine, you know, that is our modern medicine. You know, there is a future, and so we do need to push deeper in science.
Yeah, things are going
to
be different even in another 100
years. And I think when we push deeper in science, we will have a very powerful and symbiotic bridge between holistic and, you know, the medical world.
Well, and a lot of medications I've learned too from looking into it and whatnot, a lot of medications, they actually, so like they know the properties are in certain plants. And so they're using the plants to make a synthetic.
Yeah.
So, you know, which is obviously not going to be as good as the, it's kind of like breastfeeding versus formula. Like, formula is not ever going to be, like, the same as breast milk, but that doesn't make one better than the other.
Yeah.
I mean, necessarily. As long as you're feeding your baby, whatever. But,
yeah,
like, it's the same as they're taking these plants, studying the properties of these plants, and then trying to come up with a synthetic
version.
Yeah. So it's like, it's still, they, even those that are making the medications, they understand that how important the plants
and
can
some
be.
Doctors, too, even recommend natural herbal supplements.
Mine does.
I've had some that have referred, like, or have recommended, like, you know, ginger or turmeric or turmeric, depending on, both pronunciations are right, but, you know, whatever you call it.
Turmeric.
Yeah,
that's just how I voice.
Yeah, I always
anyway.
Call it turmeric, so I just was like, oh, I didn't know that's what I turned for, but anyway.
Or another pronunciation.
Yeah, another pronunciation. And so, you know, I've had, you know, doctors recommend those, and so, and there was another one for my digestive health. I can't remember. I was also recommended.
Dandelion is good for menstruation, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Heads up.
It was good for your lymphatic system, too. But so I think, you know, moving forward, you know, I think as our, you know, sciences progress, you know, we will see a unified world where we're, you know, taking into consideration the holistic healing, you know, and there are a lot more respect for older ways and other people's different cultural practices while also having, you know, value for the sciences. And I think the reason why a lot of people mistrust, you know, science and mistrust the medical world is because there's a lack of research in a lot of medications. So it's not necessarily, and it's because our modern medicine is always deriving. A lot of medications that today, they didn't
have forever. It's a forever evolving.
Yeah, and so
that's what I call it, practicing medicine.
We can't just be like, oh, yeah, the medical field is complete BS, because
that's not entirely true.
There's just
true
a lack of research right now. But there's also a lot of research that is just now coming out that was lacking, you know, even 10 years ago, but 40, 50, 100 years ago.
Right.
Well, it's not even that it's like a lack of research, because there's a lot of research into all this, but, like, it's also, like,
but a lack of chain of distribution.
Or then like, and then like even communicating and the correlation of old school medicine versus common modern medicine.
Well,
does that make sense?
Even if there's not, well, and also too, I mean, by a lack of research, may not mean that there isn't any research on the subject, but there can still be a lack of research because there aren't enough studies to verify something, you know, credibly. You only have one study or two studies. A lot of the times, that's not enough for them to be like, okay, we're going to start putting this into the curriculum. We're going to start putting this into all practices.
And you
does that make
think,
sense?
Yes. And you got to think too, and this isn't knocking whatever, but there's no money in it if people can grow it themselves.
Yeah.
If you can get it, so what do you think you're going to promote?
Yeah, and that also shows, but that control doesn't even come from true medical professionals.
Yeah,
you know?
Want to help people.
And that's a struggle, too. And so I think as our society evolves and more people are able to, you know, share their experiences with holistic medicine and modern medical medicine, and we'll be able to kind of, you know,
they
nip and prune out the bad and, you know, the outdated or the, you know, the misconceptions while being able to, so that the rest of the tree can flourish and that the rest of the, you know, the truth and the science can flourish.
That makes sense.
And
they're both valid, I think. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like barefooting in shoes. Like, they're both valid ways to live, but, you know, it doesn't mean you're quote-unquote wrong or bad for choosing one over the other.
Yeah. And so, and even with barefooting, we see a back and forth where some, you know, medical professionals are like, oh, my God, what are you doing? And then, you know, but then other ones are like, oh, no, yeah, that's so great for you and are all for it. And that shows that there's that kind of that disconnection between people just looking at science and holistic, where people, you know, forget that there's a lot of science that is, you know, been already, you know, done, but is still even currently developing. Barefooting.
There's so much more information now. They're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And they see it as, and again, some of those might see it as trendy or might see it as, you know, for me, I've been told many times, I'm just being a rebel. No, I'm living my life the best way for me, but I can, but I will acknowledge too, because the only way you grow is by, you know, full conversation.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I can see why you would think that, but that's simply not the case. Like, I don't sit out to be like, oh, I'm going to go rebel today, darn the burn, you know? Like, but I don't know.
It's
actually scientific evidence and proof of
power. Yeah. And there are a lot of historical factors that have contributed to a lot of different communities' mistrust in the medical world, and why a lot of communities have gone, you know, more towards herbal remedies, and being used as an herbal remedy for a long time, and now there's a lot of science behind it, and a lot of places it is now openly medical, but also there are a lot of states and that are, you know, either already have become recreational or switching to recreational, and even that.
Well,
you know,
and then because there's been like research and showing like why did it even become illegal in the first place kind of stuff, and I get that, you know, we're not here for one way or the other. We're just saying like for the medical field and health and whatever. It's constantly changing and evolving.
Yeah.
And there, you know, even scientists can realize that they might have had it wrong. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. And how we have to think too, you know, a lot of things are theories. Now, if something can
everything
be backed up enough, that's what I'm trying to do. Like, there may be research into a subject, but there may not be enough to make it, you know, considered 100% credible. And so
I have several studies and blind studies.
And there's a lot of things that have taken decades to fully be considered a fact, or even, you know, like, you know, centuries when you think of, you know, like, you know, Galileo and, you know, talking about gravity, and everyone was like, you're crazy.
Oh, and don't forget, some people,
Newton,
I don't know if you're offended by this, but some people still think, you know, it's just flat.
But there's been a lot of development, but we still have to remember there's a lot of development that needs to go. And not just in terms of science, there's a lot of emotional and empathetic and in terms of society that also needs to develop.
Mm-hmm.
We need to remember, you know, and pay attention to and really try to grow and have an accountable system from the traumas that different marginalized groups have experienced through the medical
mm-hmm.
field in a long
yeah.
history. I mean, there's so much horrible stuff, and it's like, I don't even want to get into it because I don't want
right.
to trigger anybody because this is a, you know, a safe show, and that's what we want. But there, and so, you know, I encourage people, you know, to educate themselves on the history of, you know, any marginalized group and what
yeah.
how they have been treated in the medical field and how that has also contributed to a lot of our mistrust that we need to unpack so that we
yeah.
can have a healthy, all-encompassing view of health.
Yes.
Because even, too, our emotional dimension, our mental dimension, our physical dimension, our spiritual dimension, our energetic, like I was talking about the sun being electric and the earth being magnetic and how, you know, we have electromagnetic fields and there's electric magnetic field around the earth because of that. And so,
yeah,
like, that's why I knew I'm talking about energetic. So, you know, these are all facets and different aspects of who we are.
Right.
And so we need to have a unionized self. You're a united self. I don't know why I keep saying united. I've been using that word a lot lately. Like, so people are the word united. Oh, I love being neurodivergent. Anyway,
it's
we have
great.
A we need to have a united sense of self within us, and that is what will help us to have united communities where everybody's culture and perspective and opinion is valued, but
yeah.
it's still an educated opinion.
Right.
Because, you know, a lot of people, you know, too, like some opinions are downright ignorant because they are uneducated.
They're unfounded.
Yeah. And so
ignorant and ignorance is not saying they found someone they're stupid. It means they're unlearned in it. They don't know it. I like to make sure people point out that difference because, you know, people may think they're synonymous and they're two different things. You can be stupid and like literally like, and to me stupid is like where you're educated in it and you know it and you've learned it, but you still fight against it, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But then ignorance is you never learned about it. You don't,
yeah.
you just don't know. So
yeah.
there's a difference. When we say ignorant on this show, we're not trying to insult or call people stupid. We're just, you know, bringing out.
We're referring to uneducated people.
And, yeah.
And there are, you know, and there's things that I know
I'm ignorant on a lot of things.
Yeah, like I know I'm still uneducated on things. I may not know what they are. But I know that I do not know everything, but
correct.
Also, you know, through college, you know, there was a lot
that, you know,
that I, you know, realized that I had a lot of my own ignorances, I had my own biases that I wasn't consciously aware of because
right.
of the environment, the things I was taught, the things that were spoken around me, the
yeah.
other people's opinions and thoughts from adults. And
mm-hmm.
so, you know, I was able through college, you know, to educate myself, you know, for, you know, psychology, you know, in terms of a career path, but I was also able to unpack a lot of stuff and a lot of misconceptions.
And learn about yourself.
Yeah, and even, you know, barefooting, it ties into everything that we've talked about. And so now I kind of want to maybe unpack that a little bit more. So something that a lot of people are ignorant about, and that's
yeah.
why we exist, is
to educate
on that ignorance. And so that way that ignorance doesn't exist. And so that people realize that there are so many uses to it. And when I was talking about the different dimensions of ourselves, you know, as we've talked about so many times,
mm-hmm.
barefooting helps emotionally, it helps mentally, it helps spiritually, it helps energetically, it helps physically, you know, and that may not even necessarily be medical for you physically or just more of a physical preference, but it still helps.
Yeah.
You know, you know, I know you were talking about, you know, popping your shoes off earlier and how this week has been really challenging
so bad.
For you. Is there really, like, do you want to kind of talk about that with your ADHD?
There's been a lot of changes and updates, which, you know, that's life, so, you know, life as a teacher, whatever. Like, I expect that, but it's been a lot, and it's been overwhelming. And then, like, with stuff at home and outside of work, I've been getting really overstimulated.
Yeah.
And it's just like, there's just sometimes it's like, I'm afraid of kind of losing it.
not in a dangerous way in front of my children, but just not in an inappropriate way.
Yeah, you want to be a maternal person. You don't want to be mean. And
so I want to be the best. I want to be the best teacher I can ever possibly be. That is the,
And even if you're not being abusive, you can still say things in the wrong tone and be really rude, you know?
Right, and it's not these babies. It's not these poor kiddos' fault that I'm having a bad day. So it's like, so, and I'm just going to get over. So there's been a few times where I just kind of have popped, just popped off, like when I'm a couple times outside the crib and I just took them off close. Because, two, you know, our state dictates their state. So it's like if we're stressed and they can feel it and they feed off that and it makes them stressed. So I like to take time to, you know, deep breathing and grounding to keep myself regulated.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, my students are regulated. You know, it's their...
And when you're their adult and their safe person...
Yeah, it's really important
for you to be in equilibrium so you can
be
what they need.
And every time I was standing there, like, it would almost feel like my feet are radiating heat. Like, they're so, like, this is going to sound, I know this is going to sound crazy, but it's like my feet are stressed.
Mm-hmm.
My feet are mad. They need, my feet need space. They need to take their deep breath. I know it sounds a little crazy to some people.
No, I like
so
the word stress. And then just real quick, stress is not just an emotional thing. You know, stress is anything that raises our cortisol levels. So for you, if wearing shoes is something that is just so uncomfortable and bothersome to your body to the point that it's raising your cortisol levels,
and then I can't focus on anything else and I just get overwhelmed.
Then, that is stressful. Your feet are probably stressed. You're physically stressed. Which, and then when you're physically stressed with your ADHD, that's causing you to get so much more overstimulated.
Like, meltdown levels, y'all. Like, I accidentally, I don't know if you don't know much about an iPhone, but when you're in the messaging, if you kind of turn it sideways, it'll start recording automatically sometimes.
Oh?
Like, to record a message to send. Like, if you're... I would text my husband, ask him if he'd see my keys. Well, then, like, I lost it. I completely, like, I was sob crying. Not in a dangerous way to my children, but, like, a concerning way, at least. Anyway, so, like, apparently I had to record and sent it to him. So, like, he heard my cry fit, which is, I've cried in front of him before. It's not like I'm trying to hide that, but it was just, like, Timmy, like, called me, like, what is going on? And I'm, like, obviously, I don't even know at that moment. After the fact, when you can think about it, you're like, oh, I know what happened.
Yeah, but
like, in the moment.
Well, because it's an executive function, or when you're overstimulated and you get that build up, it causes your executive functioning to just go into a freeze state where you can't even analyze what's going on.
Right. Well, and they've done studies. Good CryFit actually releases those stress hormones as well. It releases cortisol. So it's like,
I have to get into that with my technique.
My body literally hit a point where it's like it was so full that it had to get it out. It's really what the overwhelm is you are so built up with those stress hormones, you have to get them out somehow. And so your body knows, cry.
Yeah.
Cry it out. That's like the only time I actually cry is when I'm super angry, like, or super stressed. Like, I don't generally cry otherwise. Like, but buddy, it was ugly crying.
There's this show, what's called Shrinking. I mean, it's for like older audiences. I'm not exactly sure the age though. And I'm not going to give any spoilers in case anybody wants to watch it, but there was a technique I want to bring up from it that I think was just really good. And I've even done this in my own ways too. And I even heard in school it even being recommended through like my psychology major. And that is, experiencing like grief or like, you know, or, you know, you could use this for trauma or any intense emotion, setting a timer for 15 minutes and allowing yourself to feel it intense as possible. And then when the 15 minutes timer is up, you know, put a close on it and allow yourself to go back to normal. But being able to set that time aside to release it all is so helpful and so crucial in emotional regulation.
Right. Well, and that's one of the things I do in my class. I don't set a timer. But like, say when my baby is super overwhelmed, right, it's a level of quote-unquote temper tantrum, right? I see so many times where
but they're also younger, so they're not in the place where you can
But even that age, I see so many times where, like, the adults that are watching them, they will, like, try and get them to stop.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's okay, be quiet, you're fine, blah, 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 you know, that kind of, and I'm just like, oh, that was frustrating you. You seem very upset right now. Go ahead and get it out. Your feelings are valid. When you need me, I am here. Is what I always tell them. When you need me, I am here. You go ahead and get it out. Because I don't want them to think that there's something wrong with their feelings.
Mm-hmm.
I am 40 and I had a legit, if I was a baby, it'd have been temper tantrum. I had a temper tantrum. I had an absolute stimulation, overwhelming meltdown.
Yeah, I know, obviously, and you handled it for your age level, but it's
right,
the same
but
thing.
But it's like the same thing, like I tell my babies, my
kids
students,
are having their form of a mental breakdown.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm like, that was frustrating. You just, yeah. whatever it is, like, oh, you missed, whatever it is. Or even if I don't know, I will tell them. So, like, you seem very upset, and Miss Audrey's not sure why, you know, but you, your feeling is valid. You go ahead and get it out when you need me. I am here.
And have you noticed, because I know you talk about how, like, you know, in the past, how the babies will pop off their shoes. Do you ever notice that with their emotional episodes?
Oh, absolutely. They don't like, keep their shoes up. A couple of them actually try to take their clothes off, but I don't know if I want to do that.
Yeah. You obviously have to set some rules.
Mm-hmm.
But, no, because, and that's something,
boundaries,
too.
Boundaries,
yes.
Mm-hmm.
And so, that makes a lot of sense. And so even with, like, that 15-minute method, obviously that's not going to really be as helpful for, you know, kids necessarily. But if you're an adult and you're overstimulated, I mean, and whether or not you're barefoot or not, take 15 minutes, pop your shoes off, and, you know, go to a safe place, maybe in nature if you're a nature person, or even in your own home.
Backyard.
Yeah, in a backyard. You know, anywhere you can, you know, sit, even if you're on a, you know, have a ground level place to sit on where you can sit on the floor even and just take those 15 minutes to list to just be able to get it out. And even if you're not on a ground level, you know, still be able to just have that moment to take your shoes off. It really does help with
get yourself that out plan. Then you can just pick your
relief.
Feet up too.
And actually how we ended, the show ended up on Mix 105 is one of the coordinators.
Yep.
Somebody recommended that to him when he was
his therapist.
Oh, it's his therapist. Okay. And so, you know, he was having
And I'm only sharing information he's already shared. I'm not going to.
Yeah.
Not personal information on anybody. So anybody listening that doesn't already know, he's already openly shared about it.
Yeah.
So I'm
not. Yeah, that's the only reason why we're bringing it
exactly.
up.
Exactly. Like, I'm not breaking HIPAA or anything like that.
Yeah.
That I would never.
Yeah, but that was his reason for wanting to, you know, get us on.
And get more information.
And help get us that, you know, barefoot is legal out there was because he was having really, you know, bad panic attacks. His anxiety was bad. PTSD. And
go ahead.
No, you're good. And, no, you're fine.
You already said it.
No, you're good. And, and I was also just repeating also what you're saying just in case, you know, they couldn't hear you because sometimes I can't tell, like, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and the therapist recommended it, and it made a crucial difference for him.
Yeah. He saw the wisdom behind. And he started very, not full time like we do typically, but like he started more, which I think is great, especially when he's stressed. So it's like, it's a tool in his toolbox, which I think is just fantastic.
And I'm so glad to see the information, you know, getting out there and seeing that it is having a positive impact on people's lives.
We're helping people, and that's the best. Being a caregiver myself and you as well, like, I was talking to my husband about that today, about how, you know, like, that's what I was made for, was taking care of people, especially children, but, like, really anybody in my life I like to take care of.
Mm-hmm.
And where was I going with this?
Something about being a caretaker,
like,
to care of people in your life.
What was I
talking
about before?
Y'all might, if you just be right. I'm so confused now. Also, too, you know, if you're a caretaker, remember, though, to take the time to take care of yourself. You know, you may be a natural caretaker, that may be a part of your purpose, so that doesn't mean that you don't set boundaries. That doesn't mean...
thank you.
Yeah.
So, it's like, you know, you can't take care of others if you don't take care of yourself, and for me... You know, it is
barefooting is how I take care, one of the many ways I take care of myself, and it's still valid. So it's like, that's one thing I like about this group, and I'm grateful, honestly, to Proof for starting it, is because it gives it validation and information, and I know I did this a couple weeks ago, but I'm just, like, so grateful to be a part of it.
Yeah, and I really do think it is good to express, you know, gratitude, you know, to Proof as the founder of this organization. And, you know, Barefoot is Legal wouldn't exist without him.
Right.
We wouldn't be where we are, on this radio show without him.
Exactly. We'll be able to show the extent of our caregiving. That's like, oh, we're happy people. The extent of our caregiving is, like, expanded. And it just makes me feel good as a person to know I'm helping people.
Yeah, and sometimes I really struggle to feel like I even am helping anybody, but
yeah,
just remember, though, that your mental health, it is so important, and barefooting may be a key thing to regulating that mental and emotional health for you.
Right.
If you are neurodivergent, I definitely recommend giving it a try, but at the same time, we need to remember, too, that not all neurodivergent people are like me and Audrey, where barefooting is a key solution for them. Some people,
they can't do it
because of sensory reasons. Well, for us, it's like a sensory gold, you know?
Yeah, oh,
and
my
for
gosh.
Them, it's a
good mud would track. I have one of my students, and I'm not giving names or any personal information, of course. Her sensory stuff is, like, so different from mine. Like, she, first time she touched snow, she gagged.
Yeah.
Like, so, you know, it's like we understand that everyone's sensory processing is different.
Yeah.
So we are only suggesting, you know, and if it works for you, keep it up. Do it more.
Yeah.
You really won't be sorry.
You know, we're here to give validation for people that feel like complete weirdos or feel like their coping mechanism is trash or weird. When it's not trash or weird, it is healthy. It is helpful.
And valid.
So many people have so many toxic coping mechanisms that are just accepted. I mean, think about it. You know, in customer service, and we can get into, and even like with the professionalism, you know, barefooting and how people would argue about unprofessional. There are customers, like going to restaurants, drive-thrus, whatever, and abuse the workers verbally.
Oh my God.
And mentally, you know, and just,
or
and that's
customers.
Not healthy.
For other customers.
For other customers. You're right, yeah. And I know you had
experience
with,
that.
You know,
yeah,
you had experience being
we all
didn't
do it again this week.
But, you know, and so there are people that are going out there and are, you know, verbally abusing people. And then, you know, workers that are expected to take it. That is so toxic. And I'm shame on every workplace that has expected workers to not be able to set healthy boundaries and allow them and to be abused by customers.
Right.
I will say that. Shame on you.
Yeah.
But so if, or even too, there are sometimes where workers are so rude and so condescending.
Mm.
And even I mean, I'm
for not knowing the product. I'm like, well, yeah, no, I didn't trade in this product. You did.
Well, and I get it. A lot of, you know, employees, you know, they take on so much abuse from other customers, but then instead of handling it in a healthier way, and I'm not shaming them either, because I mean, all systems don't allow for, you know, mental health, or even allow you to value your health. And, but
make you feel guilty
instead
for
of, you know, handling it in a different way, they then project that and then take it out on other customers who aren't being rude. Because
they expect it from everybody. It's one person's address, everybody's address.
Or I've even noticed, too, where because I, you know, come in very kind, even if I'm having the worst day of my life, I'm going to be the kindest person. Because I worked in a drive-thru for 3 years when I was in high school.
Right.
And was verbally abused by adults when I was a minor. I get it. And so I always try to be really kind right off the bat. But I've had some people that have tried to take advantage of that and then, like, you know, try to, you know, just take it out. And so it's like, those things are so unprofessional, and even just from customers, it's just so wrong.
And
those are things that
have you ever actually looked at their feet when they're being a jerk? It has nothing to do with.
So why is it that barefooting is such a problem when it is a healthy coping mechanism?
Yeah.
We allow abusive dynamics in the workplace all the time, but barefooting is unprofessional.
Yeah. Yep.
And even, too, we see, you know, people's, you know,
employers, bosses, managers, whatever, even just taking complete advantage of them and putting them in just so many unhealthy situations and dynamics where they're treated as worthless. And
they're made to feel like trash.
And if you think about it, that worthlessness is a big reason why barefooting is only accepted. Because now you're not allowed to care about yourself. You're like, oh, you found a way to help your mental health? Too bad, can't do it. Like, you have to suffer with all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And think about that, too. I know a lot of people have experienced that with
misery loves company.
Yeah, like a misery loves company type of dynamic in their workplace. And so it's just like there's so much that we need to impact in, you know, the workforce in general and how it treats people and the expectations, the unhealthy, toxic expectations that it puts on people. Especially if we're going to sit here
and
have to
work
in a
retail place that sells clothes, why should you have you wearing shoes should be optional.
Yeah,
it's
so,
not dangerous at all.
It's just why? Now, obviously, some jobs and some workplaces, it is an actual safety issue.
Which means it's a tool
in your toolbox. That doesn't mean barefooting is a problem. It just means it's not the solution to that problem at hand. And instead, shoes as a tool are. And that's nothing to do with barefooting being bad or wrong or unsafe altogether.
That. Right.
But in general, we should be living in safe communities. Unfortunately, that is not a reality for a lot of people in this country. But if we think about it, people should be safe to go out and barefoot.
Well, yeah,
if you're
so
worried,
should be taking care of their environment, but they don't.
And we should be taking care of our communities and each other. And so if you're so worried about somebody, you know, stepping on, you know, drug needles or whatever in glass, okay, well, how can the community take care of that so that way that's not a regular risk? Because, yes, glass will break here and there, and there's nothing you can do about that. But if that is a routine risk that you have to worry about every inch of the store that you're going into, every inch of your community's block, then that shows that there's a problem.
And then you need, that's when you get together a community group in the community to, you know, clean it up, in my opinion. But we forgot, kind of.
And so, you know, if
comments
that
don't think so calming.
Well, and it's like, and it's not that barefooting itself is unsafe. Maybe these risks are a sign that there's unsafer things happening that we need to address.
I like that unsafer. More unsafe. But I like the unsafer.
I don't know.
That's not me making fun of you. I promise.
I know it's not for me, but I'm
like,
yeah.
I know that's not a word, but I like it.
And so
I'll like it a lot.
How can we make things safer for each other? It's a big thing I think we need to address moving forward.
And if you only want to look for, you know, at yourself, okay, fine. How can you make it safer for you? You want to be, you know, even if you want to be selfish about it, how can you make it safer for you?
And I know even, you know, when we go on hikes, like, you know, we end up picking up trash.
I always leave with a full bag.
I always try to, but sometimes I don't always remember to bring a bag.
Yeah, I'll get my coffee. Dude, I'm so adamant about it. It drives me insane when I find trash on the ground and when I go hiking. Drives me, I'm like, literally, I will put it in my pockets. I'll carry it in my bare hands. I'm getting it out of there. It makes me so mad.
Yeah.
So mad.
Oh, you know, and even that is a simple way of how we can make things safer for other barefooters, you know?
Yeah.
And people also need to realize, too, is barefooters are paying way more attention to where they're walking, where they're stepping, than you probably are if you're somebody that wears shoes so heavily. But think about it, too. Even if you're somebody that wears shoes, when you're barefoot, you're probably paying attention to where you're stepping more.
Right.
And just, but in general, too, that paying attention aspect, ADHD is a struggle to pay attention. And a lot of the times, too, and that's where, like, autism and ADHD are different. With ADHD...
It's not really an attention deficit. It's an executive function deficit.
Yeah. Which then, but like with, well, because like there are differences with the struggle of social cues with ADHD brains and autistic brains.
Yeah.
And so ADHD brains, the reason why they're missing social cues is because they're not paying attention to them. But there's a genuine reason why they can't pay attention to them. Because they're paying attention to everything else, or it's a hyperactive component that comes into play.
And impulsivity.
Yeah, that makes it harder to to pay attention to those other signals.
Right.
And so there is a genuine reason for not being able to pay attention, not that they're not trying. While with autism, on the other hand, it's not a paying attention thing. It's actually, it just doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it doesn't have to do with, you know, our natural flow and how we process things. And it just doesn't make any sense. And
reading facial expressions is a tricky business.
Yeah, and so it's even hard for me to explain, you know, as somebody who's been going through a later life autism journey and realizing that. And so realizing, though, too, that no matter how hard I pay attention, there's a lot of things that I miss. And it's because my brain is very different than ADHDers, where it doesn't process the same way.
Well, and literally just trying harder makes it, like,
impossible.
You are too focused on the task of looking like you're paying attention that you don't really even pay attention because you're too focused on making sure you look like you are.
Yeah.
Your record breaks and you just repeat like I just.
Yeah. But you know, there are a lot of similarities for all neurodivergent people, but a lot of these same issues that occur are occurring for different ways and the solutions
right.
are different.
Right.
And so. And that would be a lot more for me to unpack. I feel like to make it make sense better because I do struggle with communicating, you know, my thoughts sometimes. But with the paying attention sensory thing with ADHD that, you know, I'm known from, like, you know, my own education with psych and also, you know, research I've done deeper that hasn't always been, you know, appeared to me, you know, from my professors, the research I've done on my own.
Right, right.
Especially for, like, projects and stuff. Getting into how that for ADHDers who have a preference towards barefooting, it really does help with that attention. It helps them pay attention.
It does.
With sensory awareness.
I promise you, firsthand knowledge, yes, it absolutely does.
And
I get so clustered. Whoa, that was close. Like, my brain gets so tied in so many knots. So many knots when I have to put shoes on. I will ask people to repeat themselves, like, 80 times. I can't, I literally have to get up close and cup my ear, like, what?
Yeah.
My hearing, I had a hearing test. My hearing is actually perfect hearing, which if you know me and you've interacted with me, like when I say I'm losing my hearing, you believe me. And I believed me until I had my hearing test. And it's not because I can't hear, because I can't, everything's the same noise level. I can't focus on what
I
need.
And I experience that too, but it's in a different way. And it's still something that's hard for me to put into words. But it definitely does help with me paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, you know, shoes definitely are an irritant, for sure. And it's just, it puts my mind in a jumble.
Yeah.
You know? And
I tell people when I get to the other, hold on, I have to untie the knot.
Yeah.
And they, I mean, at this point, they understand what I mean. I'm like, that's literally what it feels like to me. It's like there's strings in my brain, and they get tied in knots.
Mm-hmm.
They get tangled up, and I got to physically go in there. Physically, finger quotes, go in there and untie them.
Yeah.
What it feels like. To me.
No, and I can understand that. But I just feel like, it's hard to put into words, but I just feel like my body just doesn't flow the way it's supposed to. And
right.
part of that, you know, is my physical chronic illness issues throughout my body, like my muscles and joints and stuff. But just even on a mental level, I just feel like my neural paths can't flow the way that they're meant to.
Right.
Like, I don't know if that even makes sense, but there's research behind it.
Yeah.
That, like, for a lot of people, you know, and that's why, you know, barefooting, you know, like, well, like with Tyler with Barefoot Autism Challenge, and why there's a lot of research more so between actually autism and barefooting, because a big thing with autism that we've seen for a long time is, you know, ripping shoes off, or even, especially with younger children with autism, they rip their clothes off because
of
the sensory overwhelming.
Or the tags, having to cut
the
tags.
Tag. Yeah.
That's why I think a lot of shirts have started printing, like, their information
mm-hmm.
inside the shirt instead of
sewing
a tag
in.
Those things can be irritating as
and those
a
were
freaking
also
thorn in your foot. Oh, I can't.
That I experienced younger as a kid, but being undiagnosed earlier
mm-hmm.
in life, realizing, too, like, how many things I'm like, oh,
that makes sense.
That makes a lot of sense. And I know you as somebody, you know, who's known me all my life and
the
you know,
screamer makes
watched
a lot more
me as a kid, you know, when I, you know, first told you, you were like, oh, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
My mom was like, oh, wow, that makes a lot of sense.
And it's like, it's one of those, like, we may have suspected something, not necessarily autism, but, like, we may have suspected something.
Yeah.
But we didn't know what it was. And they were like,
But when I was a kid, I hated wearing shoes.
Mm-hmm.
I would struggle with wearing clothes properly. Even if I would wear them, I'd wear them weirdly.
Yeah.
Because
you would too.
I would, like,
okay, she's got her own style.
Like, I would have, like, one arm out because I needed one arm free.
Like a little Amazon princess.
And even now I realize, too, how, like, particular I am about clothes. And it's the same thing with me being very particular about, like, my barefooting and my feet and what's on them. And
even
sometimes, too, like, wearing socks is a sensory thing, but also a warmth thing. But I want to be barefoot. I don't want to wear shoes because shoes are going to create such a sensory, leave me alone. I hate this type
makes
of
you
feeling.
Feel already, you're already overwhelmed, so anything that comes at you is going to make it.
But then sometimes, you know, for sense reasons, like, I do like wearing socks, but it doesn't mean I want to wear shoes. Just because you put the socks on doesn't mean you have to take the extra step to put the shoes on. You can stop
right
there.
Yeah, you can.
While other times, I'm like, I absolutely sensory, I'm like, oh, I need to be barefoot. Like, barefoot to the ground. If I have a piece of fabric, I'm gonna scream, you know?
Yeah. be like I'm going to accidentally, quote unquote, lose my shoes.
Yeah, like
gently on purpose. It's like I can't
what
find
are shoes. Sorry,
if you can't
I'm
find
in
them,
Indonesia.
You can't,
I don't know what those are.
Can't find them, you can't put them on.
If you can't find them, you can't put them on. Was that your trick when you were younger, hiding them?
Yeah. Duh. Not that I had to trick very hard, my parents, like, they weren't very...
Yeah.
I had pretty good parents. They were just like, whatever.
And when...
She's got clothes on, I call it a win. That's literally when I was a kid. They'd be like,
yeah.
I'd say, well, she's dressed.
Yeah.
Because I just, like, I couldn't do it. I mean...
Well, and this is another thought, kind of, but sure, like, in my brain and not in a bad way, oh, I just saw what time it is.
Me too.
I was younger, when I really think about it, the only time I ever wore shoes was at school.
Yeah.
And think of, too, too, when I did martial arts as a kid, we were always barefoot.
Yeah.
And so I think about, too, how...
my kids, they'll kick their shoes off as soon as they get in the car. I'm like, that's fine.
I always liked martial arts. It was a good outlet for me. But I always, as I think about too, is, you know, well, and obviously when you get into, you know, the deeper into Kung Fu as adults in the class, you definitely get more deeper into the spiritual, the energetic, you know, the flow of energy more so in the Chinese principles. And the guy who I took the class with, like, he was taught in China by an older woman and stuff like that. And so he had gone to a lot of spiritual practices. And when you're a kid, you're not taught about the things you're aware. The thing about, too, just how, like, you know, I had a dad who took the class as an adult. And, you know, he genuinely believes in that flow of energy that, you know, that chi or, and every, you know, culture has a different name for it, but that flow. And when you get into it, it's that flow of electromagnetic energy even.
Right.
And those different magnetisms and electrical energy in the air. And and that's part of the reason why barefooting is a component to it, is there's this, so that way your body can flow more naturally through martial arts, but also so your energy can flow more naturally through martial arts. And I kind of forgot about that until now. And as I got older, you know, my dad, you know, when I wasn't doing any more because I had other stuff going on in my life, I didn't have time. And I mean, it's one of those things I'd love to, you know, get back into because it's just so beautiful thing, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah, my favorite was my Tai Chi class when I took it in school. It was always barefoot and always enlightening.
And the thing about, too, how much that really helped me as a kid and how I felt more focused there than I did at school. And thinking about how being barefoot was probably a huge component of that.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And also just, too, like how there's a lot, and we were talking earlier about bridging the gap between holistic and medical and having respect and appreciation for other cultures. And that's, and And sorry, my brain just like stopped for a second. We need to understand that a lot of cultures and a lot of practices, they are rooted in a different type of truth that we are just now starting to really understand through science. It doesn't mean that there isn't any value in them. There's so much value. And
even the Tylenol, you know, used to be, like, considered, you know, oh, my God, you're doing what? Like, so does that make sense?
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm like super tired. I'm getting a hot flash.
No, you're good. Yeah, no, I get you. A lot of these pain relievers were still, you know, when they first came out, people were very skeptical. And I mean, they had good reason, too, because they weren't, you know, as tested on. They were new. They, you know.
They didn't know anybody that had them yet because they just came out.
And so we all always need to push deeper, but we need to remember, too, as we move forward with the medical field and with science, we need to remember that there are a lot of ancient studies in ancient cultures that have a lot of value in use, and we need to actually appreciate them rather than appropriating them and, you know, listen to people, respect people, because, and I think in the future, as, you know, and this isn't me trying to be all cocky, but because each generation has, you know, brought something new, but I think my generation, you know, because I'm only 21, I think as we're moving forward and, you know, as we move forward, and even with, you know, the millennial generation moving forward and as they're getting older, because I think millennials, the older generation is now around that age of, you know, being able to be president age, you know,
and
that's what's defining me with, you know, people want to blame millennials and Gen Zs for so much. And I'm like, we literally have no political control other than protesting and activism.
Yeah.
We can't.
And
that, you know,
my generation, like, we couldn't run for office or write a bill or
Very few states can you get a position in at 18, even in your 20s, in early 20s especially. So, but I think moving forward, we see, you know, like the millennial generation and Gen Z and the generation, you know, Alpha that's being born now and other generations to come, we're going to see a lot more push of respecting and, you know, ancient, you know, studies and the real knowledge that they have to offer instead of criticizing or making it to a fashion statement or whatever people want to do that's just rude and offensive and, you know, and even just dismissing somebody's, you know, belief system and their culture and that ancient wisdom is so disrespectful. And so I think we'll see a lot of bridges being created where we have a more open mind and we all come to respect each other and understand each other's knowledge and philosophy.
Right. On that note, well, I think we should start with our wind down. I didn't realize what time it was.
Sorry, guys. We got
a lot to unpack. Yeah, I think we totally went from, based on what we talked about before the show, we went a little sideways, which is okay. We still, but anyway, so yeah, this is Barefooted Sigil Radio. Clearly, we have a lot of opinions on a lot of things, and you never know what you're going to get. We never even know what we're going to get sometimes.
Yeah, and I think we forget, though, too, that so many different things barefooting ties into.
Yeah.
There's so many different cultures that people barefoot. I think it's important we talk on that because, remember, guys, there are no laws or health codes against barefooting, and it's a protected right. Why? Because people do it for cultural reasons, religious and spiritual reasons,
medical health.
Yeah, medical reasons, whether it's mental health or physical health or emotional health.
Or all the above.
Or all the above. You know?
It's a valid coping mechanism, treatment, whatever you want to call it. It's a valid option. If you have any questions, specifically, you can send them through our Facebook chat, or you can message them to me through the Instagram, which is Barefoot is Legal, or Real Barefoot is Legal, sorry. Or if you have any feedback at all, that would be appreciated. You can also catch our show again Sunday mornings at 4:30. Crap.
4 or 4:30.
I'm going to have to, I'll double check, I'll post about it later. But yeah, you can follow our show, re-listen to the show or on, you know, Freedomizer Radio. They'll be there. I don't know how long you keep them, probably forever.
But we are also on TikTok is Barefoot is Legal too. If you have any content or ideas for content on that, you can message through that app and Rachel will see it. Yeah, like I would say, be kind, help when you can. Don't be a jerk. We want to make sure that people are informed on whether they choose to go barefoot or not. We wish to have the information to know that there's literally nothing wrong with it. And I apologize for the last few minutes. I all of a sudden got really tired and got a hot flash. Woof.
Yeah, no, you're fine. Just remember, guys, to just be respectful and be mindful of the way you treat others.
Right.
And, you know, even if you're somebody that's like, barefooting sounds stupid, try it. Try it before you just make that opinion fully that it's stupid because you don't know.
And you have the right to that opinion. I'm not going to argue with you, but like.
Yeah, but you do have that right to that opinion, but I recommend trying it.
Educate yourself.
Before you have that opinion, but also realize, too, that it may be not an option for you, but that doesn't mean it's not an option for a lot of people.
Right.
And it doesn't help a lot of people in a lot of different ways. And or has a lot of different importance or even sacredness to a lot of other people. And I know even for me, you know, barefooting has its own role for me spiritually. Mm-hmm. I know it has a role for Audrey. I know it has a role for people that we've had on the show to talk before. And it has an important role for people all over the world. And maybe not everybody all over the world, but in a lot
enough for it to just be like... For us to say enough already.
Yeah. And there's a lot of different cultural and spiritual reasons for it. Different. You know, it's not, you know, one reason, one size fits all.
Right. No, exactly. It's,
okay?
No, go ahead. My brain wants to, I don't know what that means.
It's an individual experience for everybody. So, you know, embrace your individual experience and know that it is valid. And if you are a barefooter, know that there's nothing wrong with you.
Right.
And it doesn't matter why you barefoot. There's so many different reasons for it.
Yeah.
They're all valid. And so remember, guys, there are no laws or health codes against barefooting in the United States.
Right.
There aren't. There aren't any.
Yeah.
And
if you want
documentation and proof of that, you can go to barefootislegal.org and you can go find an each state card for it, and those state cards will, with the state seal on it, and prove that there are no laws or health codes against it.
It'll break it down and has the law printed on there and lets you know that, like, just someone, like the one says, just being uncomfortable with it or whatever is not valid grounds for
making someone leave.
Yeah, the premises. That's not a valid reason for being like, well, you can't be in here. Just because you're uncomfortable with bare feet.
Yeah. And you know, also remember, too, in general, it is not people's job to make you comfortable.
Right.
Yes, we should be safe people. We should all be safe people and considerate people, mindful people, kind people. But just because something makes you uncomfortable does not mean that it is a threat to your safety.
Mm-hmm.
It just because something makes you uncomfortable does not mean that there's anything wrong with it or that anybody is hurting you.
Or gives you the right to tell someone they can't do it. You know, it doesn't give you the right to be like, well, I don't like it, so you can't do it. Like, well, I'm not living my life for you, and I'm not breaking any law. So
our responsibility is for ourselves. And yes, we should be accountable for our interactions with others, but our responsibility is for ourselves. And that responsibility for ourselves applies to accountability in our relationships. Even setting boundaries is a form of responsibility for yourself and accountability for yourself and those in your relationship.
Yeah. Exactly.
So.
Yeah, no, and it's not.
And I think
it's, like, you might be uncomfortable with someone who has a tattoo, but that doesn't mean that you can, you know, make them leave because you don't want to look at it. That's,
yeah.
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's literally the same thing. Or, I don't like glasses, so you can't be in here. Like, really? It just sounds just as stupid.
And think about it. Yeah, no, and it does. And people may be like, oh, that's different. You need glasses to see. Okay, a lot of people need to barefoot in order to function properly.
I need to be barefoot to see. I know that doesn't make sense to some.
But on a sensory level, it gives you so much awareness in your other senses that it's seeing on a different level.
Absolutely.
If you think about it. And we have, you know, and we have something too. Touch is a key sense for a reason. And even through our feet, there's a sense of touch and grounding and awareness of our surroundings.
It does have nerve endings, so you can feel.
And our nerve endings and our feet do connect to the rest of our body. So our feet do play a crucial role.
Yeah.
And I also encourage barefooters to find a routine of self-care for your feet. And that's something I've been kind of working on developing. It's not something I feel like, you know, I'm in a place to, like, share with others yet. But that's something that, you know, I'm working on finding that system for me of how we can, you know, practice self-care through barefooting, but also practice self-care for our feet.
I typically wash my feet, make sure wash them, I scrub them, put some lotion on, you know, that kind of thing to kind of take care of them and show them some love. They support me through they've supported me through everywhere I've gone so far. I didn't take care of them.
Yeah, and there's other aspects, too. I've been thinking, too, about how, like, okay, how can we take self-maintenance a step further and, you know, do, you know, more of a self-love rituals or routines, like, routines, you know, into that. And so just moving forward, remember that, you know, barefooting is a valid experience. And, you know, how can you, you know, make yourself feel safer in your community as a barefooter, but how can you make other people feel safer in your community as a barefooter?
Mm.
And how can we all make each other feel safer in this online community?
Now we need to understand.
But at the same time, you know, we all live in our own physical world, you know, obviously we live in the same world, but you know what I mean? We live in our own.
The world is different for all of us because we all have a different perspective.
Yeah, we have our own little world around us of the people we interact with, the environments we interact with. So we also need to think about our physical interactions as barefooters out in the quote-unquote real world and how we can make that safer for ourselves and others. And setting boundaries with people who are toxic is a big way of doing that. And as barefooters, we have that right. And
yeah.
So we can set that boundary up, hey, you're breaking the law. I'm not breaking the law. You don't deserve my money. I'm going to leave.
Or my attention or my affection or whatever. Sometimes it's, there's our 90-second warning. But let's just say sometimes it's not even, like, at a store. It's someone, like, is already close to you.
Yeah.
You know, right, set your own boundaries.
Yeah.
We just got our 90-second warning, folks. Hopefully you enjoyed the show. I know we kind of, like, again, we got off on a slightly different tangent than we planned, but I still think it was beneficial and important to discuss everything we brought up today. I'm hoping you think so as well. Again, you can send feedback through the Facebook group or preferably, honestly, for me, would be the because I take care of that and handle that personally.
And that is Real Barefoot is Legal on Instagram,
by the
way, guys.
Yes. So, and then you will find me also, I'm Oddball K, AUDBALLK. If you want to, you know, any questions, thoughts, feedback, ideas, just let us know. I'm Audrey, and this is Phoenix.
Hello, and bye, guys, and take care. Keep living your best barefoot lifestyle.
Be kind. Help when you can. Don't be a jerk. That's simple, folks. We will be back next week, and I hope you have a wonderful week. We'll see you next Saturday.
Yes. Take care, y'all.